usually come with a warning label, so if you don't want to have fun in church, you're in the wrong place. Because I found out something about God. He's a happy pappy. Come on now. There is no sad Holy Ghost. And if you don't believe God has a sense of humor, look to the right of you, look to the left of you, look in the mirror. You're all funny. You know, reminds me of a friend of mine. He said he bought his mother-in-law a Christmas present, and it was a cemetery plot. So the next year, he didn't get her anything. And she complained. He said, well, you didn't use what I gave you last year. Okay. Kind of setting the tone for me. Come on. But if you've got your Bible, so you can go to Isaiah 60. I'll eventually meet you there, I think. We'll see. But I believe God wants to do something major in our life, and there's been a theme all year for me. It's one phrase I heard a preacher say last year, and it stuck in me. And it was this phrase, you're not stuck, you just stopped. Then many of you in here, you think you're stuck, but you just stopped. Because I found out something in life, wherever you're stuck is where you stop believing. Come on now. So when you decided that it was over. Even though it wasn't God's plan, it still was over. One of my favorite scriptures is in stories in the Bible is John chapter 11, because it's something, a dilemma we all face. We see Jesus, you know, I mean, Lazarus, who was Jesus' friend, was sick. And Martha and Mary, the sisters, sent a servant to Jesus and say, okay, we want to let you know he's sick. And Jesus told the servant, this sickness is not unto death. And it's in red letters. So, you know, and you know the servant came back and gave Jesus his words, and the sisters were relieved. They probably thought, well, he didn't even think he needed to come. And then Lazarus dies. Now we got a problem. And all of us have faced this problem in our life. We know what God said, but the circumstance contradicts it. We know what he said. And we believed it when he said it, and still it didn't seem to work. And we see the situation where, you know, the sisters were talking about it because Jesus purposely waited an extra 3 days. Because in the Hebrew culture, 3 days, a spirit could return into a body. But on the fourth day, it was impossible. So Jesus had to wait until it was impossible. Come on. See, many times we think God is... I've heard people say God's never late, and so, and I contradict that. Sometimes he purposely is. Because many times we have God figured out. We have him in our... We know him on one level, and many times he will mess that up to reveal himself on another level. So we know him as the healer. If Jesus showed up when Lazarus was sick, he had to heal him. Had to. But the will of God was not a healing. It was a revelation of the resurrection. Yeah. Come on now. Amen. So literally, he purposely was late. Mm-hmm. And then when he showed up, the sisters talked to Jesus individually, but you know they were talking to themselves because they both had the same message. Yeah. Come on. They said, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And we've all been there. Lord, if you'd been here, my marriage wouldn't have failed. Lord, if you'd been here, my business wouldn't have failed. Lord, if you'd been here, this tragedy wouldn't have happened. Come on. And Jesus started talking the resurrection, and they said, well, we know one day he'll be resurrected. And they went into the past, they went into the future, but faith is now. He said, I am the resurrection, I am the life. But one of the key things I saw in Scripture, Jesus said, where have you buried him? You know what he was saying? Take me to the place you stopped believing. Take me to the place where your dream died. Take me to the place when your vision died. Take me to the place where you decided it was over. Take me to the place where you disconnected from God.
Amen. Come on.
Come on. Where have you laid him? And I guarantee you, that place always thinketh. Someone went over there, he said, hey. They took him to the thing, and they said, roll away the stone. He said, by this time, he stinketh. Yeah. Well, life always stinks. Unbelief always stinks. Come on. The place of disappointment stinks. And God literally wants every one of us to go back to a place where we buried something that wasn't supposed to be buried. Because God wants to resurrect some dead things. Come on now. I believe this is a season of resurrection of dreams, resurrection of visions. Come on. Where God turns again the captivity. Not only did he turn it once, he turned it again. Some of you, God has turned things for you, but he needs to turn it again. Come on. Then your mouth is filled with laughter. And your tongue with joyful shouting. Come on. Then the heathen will say. See, the heathen won't say anything until the church gets happy. You know, see, people don't want to go to our party because half the time it's a pity party. A party with the pits where a bunch of Sadducees are. They're sad, you see, because they've lost sight of the resurrection. Come on now. I'm glad, you see. But you're not stuck, you just stopped. Another thing God showed me, I don't know how to preach. I've been doing this for a year. I just know how to fill up and explode. That's all I know. But God showed me, I love watching sports. I actually love watching football. Now, I played baseball, but baseball's slow to watch. Come on. You know. But I love watching football. When I watch football, how many of you who watch football have ever yelled at the TV? Especially when you've seen a call. And it was so obvious, so obvious, so obvious. I mean, how did he miss that? I'm not as bad as my brother. He threw a chair right through the TV. But, that's why I watch it at his house. But, I'm watching this thing, and now that a lot of times the coach can throw a flag. What does that mean? It means they're going to take it upstairs. I'm going to tell you, some of you have had calls against you on the field. People were out of position to make a call, and they made the wrong one. But now we're appealing it to a higher authority. And God's about ready to overturn. He's going to turn what the enemy meant for evil, overturn it, and work it together for good. Come on now. I'm ready for the overturn stuff. You know, when I travel, and I am not in my message yet, but I'm having fun. I'll preach to me. But when I travel, a lot of times people will wish me Godspeed. That means safe travels, because I travel so much. But I began to realize, when at the end of last year, God said, you're going to begin to operate in Godspeed. And I said, Lord, what does that mean? He said, let me show you Godspeed. He says, it's Joel 2:25. That God makes up for all the wasted years. See, that would take a lifetime for many of us. more than a lifetime for some of us. But when it's God speed, He can do it in an instant. You know what God speed is? It's Amos chapter 9, when you plant with one hand and you reap with the other. That's the supernatural speeding up or acceleration. You know, God's speed is 120 people in an upper room, and the same day God adds 3,000. That's not natural growth, that's supernatural growth. I've been there. We've watched churches explode overnight. You know, I watched the church go from a couple hundred people to 3,000 in 1 week. That's not natural. That's supernatural. You know what supernatural? Well, you know what God's speed is when you enter into everyone else's labors. All the good seed that's ever been planted that's never been harvested is still ready for harvest. In this last day's revival, in John chapter 4, it says we're entering into other people's labors. He said, you're going to reap those things you didn't even labor for. Other people paid the price. Come on. See, I'm believing for God's speed. God's speed. God's speed. I'm believing things are going to happen. We're going to get suddenly, suddenly. Suddenly is a God's speed. Come on. You know, I was in a service in St. Louis, and during worship, there was a paraplegic there that I knew very well. Knew when he was in his accident. 16 years, paralyzed from the neck down. During worship, I had my eyes closed. Next thing you know, I hear the place erupting, and I'm watching this guy run. You got to understand something. We've seen miracles before, but normally because all the muscles are atrophied, you still have to learn how to walk again. You still have to... Well, in this moment, this guy was running. And I started chasing him. The reason I retired from baseball is I could not catch the paraplegic. So my days are over, baby. But I mean, I actually eventually did catch him, but I didn't want to tackle him because I didn't want to put him back in the chair. I said, "What happened?" He said, "I was worshiping God. I heard these words, 'Run, run.'" He said, "I forgot I couldn't." So he said, "I just got up and run." He said, "When I realized I couldn't do it, I figured I better not stop." Come on. Amen. See, that's God's speed. Yes. You know, sometimes God has to bypass our puny little brain. Yeah. Come on. And get into our spirit. And all of a sudden, we do things before we think. You know? Let's go to Isaiah 60. We're going to have some fun today. Because I don't want you to be religious. I just want you to be fun. I want you to hang out with Jesus. Come on. I want you to experience Him today. You know, God believes in you a lot more than you believe in you. You know, some of you don't realize what you have. Sometimes it takes the prophet to say, you know, everyone can say, "I don't have this, I don't have that, I don't have this, I don't have that." Well, what do you have? See, the prophet did not, in 2 Kings chapter 4, with the widow woman, where they were going to take her sons away, he did not create the thing, he just revealed it. Yeah. She had everything she needed all along. Amen. She just couldn't recognize it. Yeah. I'm going to tell you something, every one of you is sitting on a field of diamonds. There's a famous book called Field of Diamonds. In fact, the person who wrote the book, he founded Temple University, sold 7 million copies back in the 1920s. Wow. In a true story, it happened in Africa. Poor farmer there went out to India because he heard there were diamonds. And his land was so bad, he couldn't do it. He kept hitting rocks. Well, he didn't realize he ended up committing suicide when he couldn't find the diamonds in India. He he had sold his farm to another man, and he broke into one of those rocks, and he said, well, this is a pretty rock. I'm going to go put it on the thing. And someone came to his house and said, that's not a rock, that's a diamond. And he was literally sitting on the world's largest diamond thing. You know, in Christ, we're sitting on all sorts of wealth. We're sitting on a field of diamonds, but we're looking everywhere else. The kingdom of God is in you. Isaiah 60, verse 1, let's look at this. It says, arise and shine, for your light has come. I love that. It didn't say the light. See, that's, you know, people understand something. Every one of you has light that's assigned to you. It's revelation. It's revelation. Arise and shine for your light. We don't all shine the same way. We all have different expressions of light. Come on. And you know, in order to shine, you have to change position. You see, you have to arise. Have you ever noticed that sleeping people and dead people look alike? There are times I don't know whether I'm supposed to slap them or shake them or resurrect them. I don't know. I look and sometimes I say, Lord, are they dead or are they just sleeping? Come on. But we need to rise and shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. See, the glory is waiting for you to arise. And for you to recognize the light that God's put on the inside of you. How many of you understand? God will never show you anything that's not an assignment. If God shows you evil, you can help stop it. If God shows you good, you can help birth it. Because whatever God shows you, there's no such thing as revelation that does not demand participation. He's not going to show you everything. But He's going to show you your thing. Come on. Does this make sense? It will make more sense as I go on because this is a truth. And I'm trying to get people to begin to recognize what God's placed on the inside of them. That area of their impression without expression leads to depression. When you actually have something and you don't express it, it frustrates grace. And it says, literally, for behold, the darkness will cover the earth and gross darkness the people, but the Lord will rise upon you, and His glory will appear upon you. And it says, nations will come to your light. One of the things I'm going to say is once you begin to get revelation from God, what your light is, what your gift is, let people see your good works. Let your light shine. Come on. When they see the expression of God through your life, they're going to glorify the Father which is in heaven. Does this make sense? It is, man. It's authentic. You know, what I've learned is every one of us have sons and daughters that are tied to our light. And if we don't let our light shine, people that are supposed to be reached won't see the light and won't be drawn in. Come on now. It says your sons and your daughters will come to your light, to your gifting. Come on, to what God put on you. God didn't give you this just for you. Come on. They'll see that and they'll be drawn. Not everyone's drawn, but those assigned to you. Years ago, my son came into my office. And he said, Daddy, God just gave me a lifetime verse. And he was a young kid. I had never used the word lifetime verse around them, so I was really curious. So I said, son, what is your lifetime verse? He said, Psalm 2:8. He said, ask of me, I'll give you heathen for your inheritance. He said, Daddy, I want my heathen. I want my heathen. They're my inheritance. I want my heathen. Every night he said, God, I want my heathen. I want my heathen. I want my heathen. We'd go, he was fairly young. We'd go to Walmart. Is this my heathen? Is that my heathen? Come on. I'll never forget, we went to McDonald's, and this old gruff man was waiting on us. And Joey started witnessing to him. So do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? He said, little kid, you are wasting your time. I am an atheist. My son looked up and he said, that means heathen, doesn't it? I said, yeah, that means heathen. He said, Daddy, that's my heathen. So every time we went to McDonald's, this guy would try to take a break because he didn't want to see my son coming. And he'd go in the break room and everybody would say, your heathen's in the back. Come on now. Now my son works at Google, so he has a little bit more high-dollar heathen that he's working with. Come on. But what I found out is every one of us, we have a light that needs to shine. We have an expression. See, if we believe, we'll see the glory of God. How many people understand you couldn't even get saved without blinders being removed and without you seeing light? You know, we sing a song, at the cross where I first saw the light. You never heard the gospel until you saw it. People witnessed to you, you thought they were crazy. Why? Because you were blinded. But when the blinders were removed, God became real. Come on. See, wherever you're stuck today, it's because you're not seeing what you need to see to get unstuck. And the only way you can see is to believe. If you believe, you'll see the glory of God. Come on. You know, I know a guy got saved on the cross during, you know, an illustrated sermon, Tommy Barnett's. One of the thieves got sick. During the whole production, he's throwing up. That's not good. That's really not good. And so they're about ready to pull the curtain for the last scene, and Tommy looks at, we need a thief! Get us a thief! But, you know, my friend Ed was working there, and he looked in the back. There's a drunk stumbling in the alley. He said, get over here. So the guy comes to him. He said, we need your help. We need your help. You know, he couldn't go on the cross looking like that. He had to be authentic. He said, come on in here. He said, take off your clothes. He had to be drunk to do it. So sure enough, he did. They put the little robe on him. They actually tied him to the cross. So here he is. Guy looks like Jesus in the middle. Another thief on one side. He's on the cross. Look, Jesus! Then they open the curtain, and several thousand, like 7,000 people, are staring at him. Well, all during the time where Tommy's reading the scriptures concerning the Easter story, he's cussing up a storm in the back. Blankety blank, blank, blankety blank. And you know they thought, people thought he's good. This is the way a thief would really sound. He is good. So when they gave the altar call, he said, get me off the cross, get me off the cross. By that time he had been sobered up. So he's the first one to respond to the altar call. So most of us can sing at the cross where I first saw the light. He can sing on the cross where I first saw the light. But you've got to understand something about it. When you let your light shine, provision finds you. Because if you look in Isaiah 60, the camels come. Great provision comes to the light. Why would God provide something if you can't see how to use it? Let me show you how this works. Several years ago, I had a conversation with a young lady, changed my life forever. How many of you know, you know of tragedies all over the world, but they don't touch you? Many times they don't touch you because they're not assigned to you. Because you can't do everything. But this lady began to talk to me, and she had been captured as a 5-year-old, kidnapped. Her and her sister were both kidnapped and were involved, basically taken into the sex trafficking. And until she was 25 or 30, I forget what it was, but it was a long time, over 20 years. She basically was involved in an industry as a slave. And she actually saw her sister die. And she's telling me a story, and, you know, I was aware of problems. I began to weep like a baby. And I knew that was an expensive weep. Because now all of a sudden, my heart and God's heart are connecting on something. And I know that demands involvement. And I remember walking away. I said, God, you know we have limited resources right now. We don't have a budget for this. But we got to do something. I said, Lord, if you'll show me what to do and you'll get what I need to do it, I'll do it. And I was honest with him. It was the week later, I ran into this guy. And I work with him now pretty closely. It's Children's Rescue Initiative. And they actually train people to go into very tough areas. They go in armed. And they rescue girls. This last year, they've rescued over 600. When I did that, we did what we could resource-wise, but then I began, I do have a lot of wealthy friends, and all of a sudden, things began to get funded supernaturally. And then a friend of mine wrote me. He didn't even know what I was involved in yet. And he said, you know, he lives in Columbia, and he said, I'm building a girls' house for those that have been rescued from sex trafficking. So we help build that. But God put it all together. But I'm telling you, don't miss it. There are things God will attach your heart to. And guess what? It's a life assignment. You'll change the world and it'll change you. It's a good thing. Does this make sense? You let your light shine. How many of you understand that you can only see in the areas you're gifted in? Come on. That's why we need everyone else, because we're not all going to see the same thing. We're not all going to see the same harvest. Some of you in here today, you look at little babies. I had one young girl come up to me and basically said, you know, I have got to do something for the unborn. Totally consumed with it. And that was a few years ago. Now she has a major, major, major ministry, you know, that's helping young teenage mothers make decisions. Come on. See, what I've learned is God will begin to attach things to you. Come on. See, you must be born again to see the kingdom. The whole thing, the number one calling of a Christian is to see. And God wants you to see some things you haven't seen yet. He wants to show you your harvest field. Come on. Your assignment. And if you'll take it, the glory of God will rise upon you. Come on, for that. I mean, my son has a whole different calling. He's a paymaster in the body of Christ. When he's 7 years old, God told him he got a $1 billion brain. His first $1 billion idea was when he was 22 years old. But I'll never forget, you know, when my son, he can see things I can't see. We do these extreme water rides. I do extreme rides, period, with him. Because I made a stupid decision. I made the statement when he was 13. I said, look, if you ride it, I'll ride it. Come on. Well, you know, do you know that they make a roller coaster that goes 169 miles an hour in Germany? And literally, they put goggles on your eyes so they don't blow your eyes out. Don't ask me how I know this. Come on. You know, recently, I went on the roller coaster. It's the world's tallest, fastest. It's not as fast as 169, but it goes upside down, and the car you're in swirls. So, you know, it helps your prayer life. Well, I remember one time I was with my son, and it was featured. This ride was featured on the world's most dangerous things. It's a water thing. You actually stand on a trap door, and it's like a 200-foot drop straight down. And they just open the door, and you go, woo! I remember that. I'll never forget my whole life. In a moment. And I was going to say Jesus, you know, Jesus, but I couldn't get the whole name out. So it was just, Gee! But he knew the rest of his name. So, you know, so I hit the water, I was fine. But then my son goes down there. See, this is how different we are. And I watch him, he hits the water. As soon as he hits the water, he gets out and starts running. Well, I knew he wasn't hurt because he was moving. So I'm chasing them, and you understand something. When you get to my age, you don't run on the outside anymore. You run on the inside. I'm still super fast on the inside. My outside, not as much. So I'm chasing. By the time he got to the locker, he's got his iPhone out. And he didn't. I said, what are you doing? He said, God gave me an algorithm. I said, when? He said, between the time the door opened and I landed. My whole life flashed before my life. I mean, I'm sitting there, huh? All I can say is, gee. He got an algorithm that produced over $1 billion worth of sales. Why? Because he can see in that area. If God showed me an algorithm, he'd have to show me Al Gore doing something with rhythm. Because that's the only thing I could understand. Come on. You know, it'd be a waste for God to download that to me. But see, God wants to give you a download for an upgrade. Come on now. He wants to give you a download for an upgrade. Come on. See, when we're stuck, he said, your ideas are not my ideas. Come on. So let's make an exchange. Let me show you something. Let me show you something. You think you know it all? You don't know nothing. Come on. It's true. And see, what I found out is, God can't anoint you to be something you're not. I love when it says, I am what I am by the grace of God. I love that. I love when Jesus says, Spirit, Lord's upon me. Because honestly, our problem is when we try to be somebody else, we're not anointable. You were born in the original. Don't die a cheap copy. You know, if you're a little bit crazy, God will use crazy. He'll anoint cray-cray. Come on. Hey! He'll do it. See, I've learned something about God. Is he, you know, he does it. He makes us fully ourselves. You know? It really bothers me when I see people. I'm a different bird. My wife's a different. I mean, my wife, she didn't see anything get a book title out of it. I mean, it's the weirdest places she gets ideas for books. I get ideas for sermons. That's why I watch sports, because God talks to me in sports. And I talk back sometimes. You know? But I'll never forget, you know, I have this place in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I get my coffee. It's a quick trip. It's just I don't do real fancy stuff. And it's just a convenience store, and what's weird is neither my son or my wife like the smell of coffee. So I've always bought my coffee out. You know. But I went in this convenience store, I started buying the coffee there, and they had a new girl. And she's staring at me. And I'm thinking, why are you staring at me? How many of you have ever had someone just stare at you? And you went, wow, what's going on? And they think, do they think I'm a shoplifter? And if I'm a shoplifter, why would I shoplift coffee? Come on now. Better than that. So I'm watching her the entire week, and she's staring at me. I'm not usually home that long. And finally, you know, I pay each time. She doesn't say anything. Finally, she looks at me. She said, "You can't be that happy." I said, "What? I've been watching you. You can't be that happy." I said, "I am." Now, you got to say, I walk in the place, "Hey!" Just the way. That's my personality. I do funerals that way. Oh, I roast them. I roast them. I tell every funny story I can tell in church. Come on now, I do. I have people coming to the funerals, don't even know the people. They just want to hear the stories. You know, the shell's there, nuts gone anyway, so let's have a good time. I mean, when I did my dad's funeral, they wanted to hold it over for another night. You know? Because I don't know any other way, you know. If you want down, don't call me. I found out about sorrow. It has an expiration date. Sorrow will last for the evening. You know what I'm saying? Hey, be sad as you want it tonight. Tomorrow we're getting up. That's the way I do things. And I have people come on in. And there are times when my wife, I'll come in. I'm really having a bad day. So I used to have bad weeks. I don't even have bad days anymore. I have a bad hour. I have 1 hour. And I tell her, I say, I'm going to have a pity party. I'm going to complain. I'm going to act like a baby. I am going to feel sorry for myself. I'm going to send you out shopping because you don't need to be around me. And I'm going to set my timer for an hour. And when the ding goes on, I'm going to put on my big boy pants and do what I'm supposed to do. But I'm coming in here, I'm going, "Ha!" And you know, she looks at me and she said, "You can't be that happy." I said, "I am." She said, "No, you can't be." And she said, "What makes you so happy?" That's like a fish jumping in the boat. And God showed me right in that instance, He'll show you. And I began to tell her a story. I said, when I was growing up, I said, I had a daddy who hated me. Now, I'm not telling you, my natural daddy didn't, so don't. But I said, I had a father who hated me. I had a father who was never there for me, and I could never do anything good enough. I had a father that was against me, who wanted to steal, kill, and destroy everything in my life. I had a father that, honestly, there was an oppression and depression. And I said, when I was 18 years old, I met this wonderful man. And he told me, "I want to adopt you." I had nothing to lose. So I said yes, but I didn't know what I was accepting other than I had nothing to lose. And I said, I didn't know my whole life would change because my father, my new father, believed in everything I did. Even when I didn't believe in myself, he believed in me. Even when I was faithless, he remained faithful. Even when I was depressed, he would begin to speak words of faith over my life. Even when he corrected me, he didn't beat me. He said, "You're better than that." He was for me, not against me. He was always in my corner. He was a great provider. He seemed to always be happy. In fact, when I got in his presence, it was like I became happy. And I went on and on and on and on. And I said, "You know, he's rich." And so I was richly provided for. And then he gave me his family business. And I said, "Ma'am, if you don't know what I'm talking about yet, I'm talking about the fact that I made Jesus Lord of my life. And Jesus is the way to the Father. And he wants to adopt you today." I said, the reason you're miserable is because you have the wrong daddy. You're either of your father, God, or you're of your father, the devil. And I say, if you're of your father, the devil, you may have a few good days, but you can't have a good life. You can't. And I said, and by this time she's crying, so I know I have her. I said, do you want to change fathers? Do you want God to adopt you? She started crying. She said, more than anything. By that time, we had a crowd around. So I led her in a prayer, and everybody's praying with me. It was so cool. But what was cooler is now we have this game. We out-happy each other. I come in and go, ha! She goes, ha! And half the customer, ha! Why? Because your light is contagious. Come on now. Your light is contagious. Some of you have been trying to be someone else, and you're miserable. I'm going to give you permission to be yourself, but be your little wild self. Come on. Not your little, there is that part in you that makes you unique. Quirkiness. You're all quirky in some ways. Come on. Enjoy who God made you to be, because if you don't love yourself, you won't love others. Come on. Don't try to play a religious game. You don't have to do that with God. Don't try to impress Him. He already loves you. And He wants to give you vision, because without a vision, you perish. So what does He do? He shows you assignments to bring out the best in you. Come on now. You were created for good works before the foundation of the world. There are things He placed in you. You are a seed that is supposed to produce a harvest. You ever notice that 3/4 of the word seed is the word seed? See, there's no harvest without vision. Come on. God's about ready to release something. He's about ready to release you. Come on. He's about ready to get you happy again. He's about ready to put your joy back in. He's about ready to take you up the mountain and say, what do you see? As far as you can see, I'll give it to you. Come on now. He's about ready to show you a preferable self. He's about ready to make you a world changer. Why? Because that's what you're created to be. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. In fact, you were actually called to mix with dirt. After churches, sinners have cooties. You got to be kidding. Ooh, I may be contaminated. You already are with self-righteousness. Come on. I like being the light, and I like being the shocker. I like bringing the power of God. I like when people don't understand what's going to happen next. I don't know what's going to happen next. I don't know what I'm going to say next. I wish there wasn't Facebook or Twitter or all that stuff, but I don't know what I'm going to say yet next, but I don't care. Because, the anointing will get you to open your mouth and say something you never would have said. And do something. See, in Jeremiah 1:11, he says, what do you see, Jeremiah? And then he says, I'm watching over the word that you've seen to perform it. So I'm asking, what are you seeing? Where is your harvest field? And God says, call me, I'm going to show you some stuff. I don't know about you, but I know something's about ready to explode in here. And I know God's about ready to put an anointing on this place. And I know that the love of God is going to compel us. I know we're going to hook to the heart of God as He opens our eyes. I know God wants to explode in every one of you. You are awesome and wonderfully made. You have gifts that make you outstanding. You don't have it all, but you got a part. Together we have the whole. I can't do what my son does, but he can't do what I do. I'll go in places, God will begin to tell me things about people, begin to show me things about people. I can speak into their destiny. My son said, how do you know that? I said, I just know. I can't tell you. You know, I used to think everybody knew it. It was so obvious to me, but no one else could see it. Because it's my gifting. See, if you're a musician, you got to play. If you're a writer, you have to write. If you're a dancer, you have to dance. If you're funny, you have to be funny. If you're not, don't try. But whatever you are, you have to. You're miserable unless you do it. You're miserable unless you do it. Some of you, you've been trying to be normal. That's not good for you. You're a terrible normal person. You're a terrible normal person. Hey! But when you get your little cray-cray on, you're okay. Some of you, you're always trying to be serious. How'd that turn out? You know, God just said, open your mouth wide and I'll fill it. Some of you need to belly up to God's bar. Before I got saved, I'd be bellied up to the bar. And they always be filling my glass. But God said, hey, at my bar, we don't have glasses. Just open your mouth. Open your mouth wide in Psalm 80 and I'll fill it. Amen. See, I don't know about you. I want a fresh filling today. I want a fresh filling today. How many of you want a fresh filling today? How many of you say, hey, God, I want that freedom. I want to be anointed to be me. Because I know there are people assigned to me. But they're not assigned to me if I don't let my light shine, and they're not assigned to me until I get that glory on me. Come on. Today, God wants to renew you. I want every head bowed, no one looking around. Some of you, you came in today, you know why? I heard that the word of knowledge of somebody in here that came in. You're desperate for God. You know why? Because you don't like the life you're living because you're living someone else's life. I've learned the only way you can relive your real true life is to come to the one that authored you. The only one that has the right to define you is the one who designed you. Is there anyone here today just say, I'm not right with God? Or you know something, I know Him, but I'm not. I got to get back. I got to get back to being me. I got to get back to, come on. You know, there's something on the inside of me that cries out for expression. And yeah, I feel like I've been bound up and I want to be loose today. If that's you, raise your hand, anybody. Come on, I see that hand. I see that. There's a gift that's going to begin to come forth right now. Some of you, come on. I want to pray for you. If you need a healing in your body, I want to pray for you. Because by His stripes you were healed. So all we're doing is just agreeing with God. That's all we're doing. You know, we're not wondering if it's God's will. He already said it is. You know, we're just waiting for the full manifestation. I never try to get healed. I already am the healed. But the devil, many times what you have to do is fight a fight so the devil doesn't steal your health. But if you want prayer, I want you to come on up. There's a fresh anointing up here. Come on now. Say, God, come on. I'm going to present my body and God's going to anoint my body. Come on now. Hallelujah. Come on, there's some of you. I want prayer. I want a fresh move of God. It doesn't mean that we're terrible. It just means we need renewed. Come on. Some of us need an oil change. Come on. There are times the engines are not running right. We need an oil change. God's going to open our eyes. Just lift your hands up. I want everyone to say this. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you. You purchased me by your blood. Lord, forgive me in any area where I've given up on you. Forgive me of my sins. I thank you. You already paid for them. I receive your mercy. I receive your grace. I receive your life in me.
I give you permission
to use me, God, and to show me what you want to show me. I release that anointing now. There's the anointing of God right there, right there, right there, right there. That's the power of God right there. Take another dose. You're going to drink yourself happy. Woo! Woo! Whoa! You caught it right there, right there, right there, right there, right there. You got it. You got it. It's not by our power. It's not by our might. It's by the Spirit of God. But we're going to be fully alive, fully ourselves, fully anointed, fully engaged. God is doing a fresh thing in you right now, right now, right now. You might as well get so excited. Whew. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's you. That's you. That's you. That's you. That's you. You were born to shine. Understand that. We're born again to shine. Those gifts are coming forth in the name of Jesus. And many times God will bring us back to take us forward. He'll bring us back to those things we laid down. You know, my wife, if she doesn't write, she's miserable. Be honest, if she doesn't play her guitar, she's miserable. You go to our music room, there's guitars everywhere. It's her expression. Every God's going to show you your expression. Come on. And that expression is going, honestly, impression without expression leads to depression. Well, you start expressing it. There's such a freedom in that. See, God, you know, we're uniquely, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, He puts unique talents in everybody. And what He does is anoint our eyes to see what we need to see. And I'm believing God right now. He's working on you to see what He wants you to see so you can be everything He wants you to be in the name of Jesus. He's going to become more real than ever before. You know, I love living the dream, the God dream, because then we can be part of God's dream team. And He's bringing you to a fresh place. So get ready for it. Get ready for it. Get ready for it. It's not by our power. It's not by our might. It's by the Spirit of God. And He's beginning to breathe all over you for such a time as this. You know the things He spoke to you years ago, the deal's still on. We release that anointing right now. The deal is still on. Oh. See, you know, we just have to go back to that place, pick that thing back up. And God's resurrection power is going to hit it. In Jesus' name. I in my lifetime, I've led thousands of teenagers to Christ. And I kind of laid it down because of my age. And about 8 years ago, God said, pick it back up. And now we literally are holding teen camps and, you know, we'll have 50, 60 churches involved. It's amazing stuff. I just thought, Lord, I'm too old for this. God said, hey, hey, I'm older than you are. I work with them. I said, Lord, I'm not cool. He said, you never were. But God is doing that. He placed that dream on the inside of you. Come on. Fresh vision. Fresh anointing. You know, God gave you your miracle. You're going to see the fulfillment of every dream placed on the inside of you. Don't you quit on that, girl. Don't you quit on that. Come on. You are too talented not to see it happen. You are too gifted. And to be honest, if God revealed it to you, no demon in hell or no flesh and blood can stop it. In Jesus' name. Come on. See, revelation knowledge makes us unstoppable. And there's a uniqueness, come on, that's coming out of your spirit. And you're getting more excited all the time as you begin to recognize you being you. God's got big plans. Big plans. He said, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to give you a future, give you a hope. There are things He's already written that are going to be fulfilled. You might as well be get ready to make some history. Come on. Be a history maker. I release that anointing now. You know why? Because God's so much for you. And there's so much more. Don't settle for less when you can have the more. You guys are world champions. Come on. You don't shake the world. Come on. Part of the ones God's calling out. Part of a new generation, a new breed that cannot be stopped. And you're just going to begin to recognize your part and you're going to play it. And watch what God's going to do. There's a fresh anointing. You know that. This is the day. This is the day. This is the day we're stepping on out. This is the day that anointing is beginning to flow. This is the day where we're going to begin to get our life back. This is the day. Come on. This is the day of the suddenly. We may have been going through a lot, but suddenly. I love it when God turns our mourning into dancing. Sometimes we go through the initial shock. Then we turn it. God turns it. And what the enemy meant for evil, God begins to work together for good. And things begin to flow and flow and flow and flow and flow and flow and flow. You're living proof. The comeback kid. The comeback kid. Oh,
thank you, Daddy.
That's what God just turns the captivity. He turns it. Whoo! You might as well get so excited about your future. It's ridiculous. In Jesus' name. It's ridiculous. It's so much fun. Some of you right now, there's things you've seen. You're going to do what you've seen. See, we only do what we see the Father doing, and the only way we can see the Father doing is the revelation. Spirit of revelation. Flesh and blood did not reveal it to you, but your Father which is in heaven. And the gates of hell will not prevail against that what He showed you. Come on. And there's an authority in that which He showed you, that whatever you bind will be bound, and whatever you loose will be loose. It's not over. It's not over. Gifts and callings are without repentance. Amen. You might as well get so excited. Come on.
Amen. Hallelujah.
God said, I'll make a way where there seems to be no way. Everything I've ever done was impossible. Anything I've done that's worthwhile was impossible. It was impossible. Seeing what we did among the youth was impossible. We saw 7,000 teenagers get saved in 2 years in a local church. That was impossible. No one had done it. But Jesus. And He's downloading stuff into you, girl. And you're getting your little feistiness back. Come on now. See, there's a tude with that. You know, you begin to walk with a little different. You begin to talk a little different. Oh, watch out. You're back. Come on, you feisty self, you. Oh, so many times religion tries to keep you in the box. But resurrection takes you right out of that box. And that freedom's coming back. Many of you, honestly, God is bringing you back to being you. So you might as well get excited, because being the best you is the best you can be. Because God wants to say, hey, my Spirit's upon you. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed you. Come on. To set captives free. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed you. There it is. Something's happening right now. All we do is walk in the light we have, and God gives us more and more and more and more and more and more and more. If you walk in the light as He's in the light. He said the blood of Jesus will cleanse you from the light you don't have. So we don't have to worry about there's areas of our life. Well, what about this? God said, just walk in your light. I'll take care of that. Come on now. I'll take care of the rest. There's a fresh anointing. Some of you catching the healing right now. Some of you catching it. It's right in the presence of God. It's already yours. God begins to breathe all over you. He begins to talk to you again about your uniqueness. Come on. There it is. That's the anointing of God. Oh, my. You can sense Him just sitting all over you now. There have been times I've had visitations from God where He just sat on me and showed me stuff. I couldn't move if I wanted to. And God's doing something very fresh in you right now. He's going to begin to show you in the next chapter in the name of Jesus. Many times we were stuck at what we've seen, and we have to just walk in what we have seen. But then God begins to reveal the next chapter. And the next chapter looses us up where we can run again, where the anointing begins to flow again, where God begins to download again, where we begin to hear the voice of God clearly again. I mean, there's seasons I walk in what I know, and then there's seasons where God, they're revelation seasons. And I believe God wants to begin to bring you into a revelation season where you're going to begin to see fresh things again, new things again, and get so excited it's ridiculous again. Come on now. Where you look forward to waking up. And you actually look forward to going to sleep because then God gives you God dreams. Where it's like wall-to-wall God in the name of Jesus. Something's beginning to break right now. You're back and better than ever before. You're back and better than ever before. See, I've learned if we see, we are prime time. We are. To the degree we see, is the degree we can do. There's the power of God right there, right there, right there. You're catching something right there. You're right there. See, God said, I'm just jump all over that. I'm jumping all over that. This is your new season. I'm jumping all over that. Power of God's hitting you. He's infusing you with His life. I release that anointing right now. Oh, my. Oh, take it. You just caught something, right? You can sense that. He said, yo. That's going to open right up, right up, right up, right up, right up in Jesus' name. Oh, there's downloads coming. Downloads for an upgrade. Every time I've had a download, it's produced harvest. It's produced a change I could not have happened without it. All of a sudden, I begin to get in that next level, 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 that, ha, 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 ha. One more dose. I knew something would hit. See, so much freedom, so much freedom. So you got so much to offer, so much to offer. You know what God's doing? You're going to begin, He's going to have you take an inventory of what you do got. See, a lot of times we spend our lives looking at what we don't have. And we don't feel we're very good when we look at what we don't have. Sometimes we even look at what we lost. But God, you know, God, what I found out, God always uses what we have remaining. And He makes up for what was lost. Come on. And there's a fresh anointing on your life right now, and God's not giving up on you, and you're not giving up on Him, and you're going to see this breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Oh, this is your season. You've been through the fire, you've been through the flood. But God's going to bring you out to a place of refreshing, the wealthy place in Him. Oh, and you're going to look around, you're going to say, I'm going to have the last laugh. I'm going to have the last laugh. Oh, oh, He's going to fill your mouth with laughter. You're going to look and say, well, see what the Lord has done. See what the Lord has done. You might as well get back to being your little wild self. Come on. Now, I mean wild for God, but wild. Come on. Because so many of us, we've been too tamed. And when the Holy Ghost comes on us, come on. Oh, I won't be like David. I want to dance with all my might. Come on, I want to be yet more vile. Come on. You think this is bad? Watch out. Come on. I want to have so much fun it's ridiculous. Because I found out the more fun I have, the more people come to watch me. Nobody wants to go to a pity party. But everybody wants to go to a glory party. I release that anointing right now, right now, right now, right now. You are going to have so much fun it's ridiculous. Whew. You know what's going on? A fresh oil change. Whew. You're going to begin, wow, 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 wow. You know, you're going to look in the mirror and say, hey, I like this. This is a new me. You say, yeah, yeah, it's the old you renewed. Renewed. It's the new and better version. That's all it is. God is doing the freshness. Times are refreshing. And that which you've been believing for is being released. In the name of Jesus. I'm ready for some Godspeed stuff. Come on. Some breakthrough stuff. You ready for some breakthrough stuff? Breakthrough stuff? Breakthrough stuff? You might as well just take another dose of that breakthrough stuff. You can drink yourself happy. You know, God's just fresh filling. Something's going on. Oh, right. Something's going on right now. See, this is part of our exercise video we got. Woo! You got it. You got it. What you've been believing for, you got it. You got it. You got it. Here, take it. Woo! One more dose. See, God's just sitting on them. When heavy sits on you, you get loaded. Because He's heavy because He's loaded. He loads you down with benefits. You know what He does? He removes all the other stuff to make room for the benefits. That's what He's doing. This is a new season. You're going to see things you've never seen before and things you have seen. You're going to see God begin to perform. This is a new season. It's a new day. There's a new freshness. There's a fresh anointing all over you. God's wild about you. There it is. And He's wild about you. Favor of God. The favor of God. The favor of God's touching this life right now. The favor. Supernatural favor everywhere you go. The favor of God. I sense it. You'll begin to see it. Not by our power. Not by our might. Ha! You got it. Arise and shine, your light's come. The glory, the glory, the glory, the glory is risen upon you. The glory. Oh, take it. Just take it. Just take the glory. Take the glory. Yeah. See, this is not your normal church. This is that church. This is that church. This is that church. And we're going to see that.
Amen to that.
We're going to see the anointing of God just come and the Holy Ghost just begin to fall. Come on now. Your youth renewed like the eagles. Yeah. We're going to get young together. In Jesus' name. Woo! This is your season. And God's going to begin to touch and move and shock. You're going to begin to see. I see it. You can have it. Everything you see, you can have. We release that anointing now. In the name, in the name, in the name, in the name. Woo! Somebody will get the woo! 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 Tremendous things happen when you're laughing. Tremendous things happen. God's about ready to visit the church. Come on. He's going to visit you with a fresh visitation. Fresh oil, 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 fresh oil. Oh, come on. It's going to flow, 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 flow. Some of you will be all gone. Silly grins. Means you've been in the presence of God. Come on. How many of you got something today? Amen. I'm going to get out of the way, Pastor, because if I go much beyond, we may get another wave and